Good morning again. We're back, and I'm going to pass it back over to Minister Cody for her opening remarks and introduce her staff. Minister Cody.
Thank you very much, and we're about to go into, I'll do a kind of opening remarks on consolidated fund services and then on the Department of Finance, because we're going to move seamlessly through them with some people moving in and out at the same time. So I have an incredible team in finance, in Treasury Board, and they're with me today. So I'm going to turn to the Deputy Minister and allow her to introduce herself, and then everyone can introduce themselves.
Michelle Jewer, Deputy Minister of Finance.
David Trover, Assistant Deputy Minister of Finance.
Nicole Abbott, Departmental Controller.
Doug Trask, ADM for Economic Statistics, Tax, and Fiscal.
Tom Nemec, Director of Treasury Management.
Diana Quinn, Communications, Finance.
Jim Doody, Director of Benefits Administration.
Thank you, and this is an incredibly strong team that we have here this morning. So we'll start with Consolidated Fund Service, which is managed jointly between Finance and Treasury Board Secretariat. That's why you have both Deputy Ministers, the Comptroller, and Mr. Doody, who's here with us on pensions. The Consolidated Fund Services represent the interest costs, management expenses related to the servicing of the public debt in the province and the funding of pension plans for government and government agency employees. But I'd also like to introduce the Finance Department and highlight the Department of Finance, which is responsible for setting the government's fiscal and economic policy. And we do this by providing timely analysis and advice to departments and agencies, cabinet and cabinet committees. And the Department of Finance is actually separate from the Treasury Board, but we work very closely together as we transform government. We provide a centralized technical services to other departments, such as economic and project-specific analysis, treasury advice, and statistical services. And each year we're responsible for the budget, and it's hard to believe this is now my fifth budget. And we're really trying to work to transform the province's finances as we work towards that stronger, smarter, self-sufficient, sustainable province. And in this year's budget, you will have seen no new taxes, no tax increases, no fee increases, and at the same time helping the residents and businesses with affordability measures, and we're making record investments in things like healthcare and seniors and housing. But we're also very focused on moving towards balanced budgets and setting aside money to pay down our debt. And how are we doing that? Well, we've moved from the provincial deficit when I became Minister of Finance back in 2020. It was $1.5 billion. We're now down to, I think it's 1.5% of revenue, which is about $152 million in deficit. We'll move towards balanced budget next year. We wanted to make sure that we kept the affordability measures like the 8-cent reduction in gas tax this year. Otherwise, we may have been able to move towards a balanced budget this year. We're also making huge contributions to our future fund. This year, we're contributing $73 million to that, and that'll bring total contributions to $359 million. But over the fiscal forecast, you'll see that just in contributions alone in our future fund growing to be about $1.7 billion in that range. We've also attached sinking funds to all of our new bond issuance, and I think that's incredibly important, putting aside money to prepay the principal of those bonds at maturity. That, I think, will be very, very important for us as we move forward. You will recall last year we also started a European borrowing program, and we strengthened liquidity, all very important parts of making sure that we are very fiscally sound. this year. Newfoundland and Labrador is going to see a strong economy. We're seeing good opportunities and good growth. Real GDP is forecast increased by 5.1% this year, primarily due to a rebound in oil and nickel production. And we're seeing total employment increasing. Unemployment is on par with a record low of 10% at 10% for 2024. We're seeing household income rise. We're seeing retail sales is forecast to increase. So we're seeing some strength in our economy, growth in our population, all bodes well for a continued strong Newfoundland and Labrador. On that, Madam Chair, I'll pause and look forward to the questions that we have.
Thank you, MHA Cody. I ask the clerk to call the first subhead, please.
For Consolidated Fund Services, servicing of the public debt, 1.1.01 to 1.4.02 inclusive.
MHA, we have 15 minutes.
Hi, Tony Wakeham. Just wanted to know, Minister, if you could provide some commentary or one of your officials on the actual borrowing strategy for this coming year.
Happy to do so. I'm going to turn to the Deputy Minister and perhaps to Mr. Nemec. When you're looking at borrowing strategy, do you mean the composition of the borrowing or how we're going to put it onto the markets?
Right, and exactly what it is we're doing. We've indicated we're going to borrow some additional money, so I'm just wondering what they're hiring.
Certainly, I'll ask my Deputy Minister to speak to it.
So, Michelle Dewar, so we have in budget, we're saying $2.8 billion need to be borrowed in 24-25. We have about $1.1 billion of that is for we call pre-borrowing. So in the first quarter of 25-26, we have about $1.1 billion due in debt maturities. So that would go towards that. So we're borrowing it this year so that in that interim supply period, you know, in the first 3 months of next year, we'll have that cash available to us. And then the rest of it, that's so 1.6 is the new borrowings, which would be in line with what we had for last year budget time as new borrowings.
If I may add to that, so you'll see that that's the composition of 2.8. I think it's really important that we recognize that from liquidity perspective, and we all know how important liquidity is. I'm looking at some former finance people. So we've decided to pre-borrow in this year, which is important for that liquidity purposes. It comes due, the debt that comes due early in that first quarter, we want to make sure that we pre-borrow and have that liquidity. And I think it's a smart strategy to do to make sure that we are well prepared as we move forward into the next year. Is there anything else you want to add on timing on the market?
Oh, sorry. So I said 1.1 for pre-borrowing, 1.6 for net new borrowing, so that leaves $100,000. So there's actually $100,000 debt maturing in 24-25 as well. So that brings us to the 2.8. With respect to market, so we would obviously go to the market. We're constantly looking at the market, whether domestic or European market, around opportunities for when we would borrow. So it would depend on interest rates at the time, obviously our cash balances at the time, and we do cash management obviously throughout the year, so we'll know when things are expected to be paid out. So example, as you're familiar with, the grant to Regional Health Authority, for example, so the timing of that and when we would need to borrow to make sure we had sufficient cash. And to the minister's point around liquidity, obviously making sure we have strong liquidity, that's something that our bond rating agencies look for as well.
Thank you. Just a reminder to repeat your name every time when you, after you raise your hand and Blake comes on, to repeat your name.
Yeah.
Tony Wakeham, so again, the $1.1 million you're pre-borrowing it this year to be able to pay down for first quarter of next year. So the timing of that will depend upon as you get closer to the year, I guess, but you're also monitoring the interest rates at the time because currently, as we see right now, the Bank of Canada has held its rate strong and, of course, with everything that we can't control that's happening in the Middle East. So again, it's not like you have to rush out to borrow this. You're going to wait until the until you see what the markets bring.
Siobhan Cody, you're exactly correct. We'll monitor the markets, but we want to have the ability to borrow. So that's why we're coming to the House asking, and we'll monitor it as we do constantly as to the timing of when the liquidity is required. Are the market conditions correct? Do we have the right mix of investors? Can we lower our cost of borrowing? All those things obviously are taken into consideration, as and especially we won't require that liquidity or that money until at the end of the year, but we want to be able to have the ability to be able to go to market.
Makes sense. Tony Wakeham, what about the other $1.6 million that you have to borrow? What's the schedule for borrowing of that?
Go ahead. Michelle Dewar. So again, it depends on the timing of cash flows, so whether it be infrastructure payments, grants, obviously, to the Provincial Health Authority. So depending on the timing of when those payments are made will depend on when we would need the cash, and then we have the strategy, our cash management strategy, of when we go to market to get those amounts.
Siobhan Cody, we're also monitoring, obviously, we want to really monitor what the Bank of Canada is doing. Sorry. Swallowed the wrong way. Thank you. So as we monitor the Bank of Canada, to make sure that the Bank of Canada, you know, we do know that, and we are expecting the Bank of Canada to lower their rates later this year. I think it'll be in the last half of the year. Certainly that's what we're anticipating anyway, just based on some of the commentary and the meetings that we've had with the Bank of Canada. So as we monitor that, we're also doing, you know, investor relations, and we now have a bond program in Europe. We're looking at a bond program into the United States as well, all with the effort of lowering our cost of borrowing.
Tony Wakeham, that one of the other things that you mentioned was regional health authorities. At the end of the year, the regional health authorities were looking at a line of credit maxed out at over $600 million. Has that been paid off?
Thank you for the question, Siobhan Cody. It has not been paid off at this point, but we are working with the health authority to make some adjustments. We're concerned about the growing line of credit that they have. We're making some adjustments to make sure that we lower that. But please do remember that that is already in our debt numbers. So anything the health authority may borrow is already in our debt numbers. I don't want you to think that that would mean our debt would go up. They're already in our debt numbers, but we feel we can probably assist better with the management of the cash flows and management of the line of credits to help lower those lines of credits and assume some of the borrowings.
Tony Wakeham. Are you concerned at all about the ability of the health authority to meet payroll?
Absolutely not. I'll turn to my deputy minister, but
Michelle Dewar, no.
So from the accumulated debt perspective, the $600 million that's currently on their line of credit, has that been maxed out?
As I indicated, we are working with the health authorities very closely on their lines of credit and make changes as required into those lines of credit and lower them as required. We are working with them actively to both lower that line of credit requirement and make sure they have anything they require for cash flow purposes.
Tony Wakeham, is there a timeline that you can give us as to when that might happen? Are you expected to happen in a month? Are you expected to happen in 2 months? Is it a 3-month exercise?
I would say that's a Minister of Health's kind of question, but I can say from a finance perspective, we're working with them every day. So I would anticipate that we will make changes and make improvements as we move forward as quickly as possible.
Okay. In terms of the borrowing that happened last year, was there any leftover opportunity in last year's loan bill?
Michelle Dewar? Small bit. So we had authority to borrow $2.2 billion. We borrowed $2.1 billion.
Okay.
Siobhan here is about to say a very small amount. We monitor the markets very closely, and if we and watch our liquidity very closely. Liquidity is especially important, and we're monitoring that on a daily basis, hourly basis, and making sure that we have the liquidity we require. We only borrow when we need that, when we feel that there's a requirement for it.
Tony Wakeham, in terms of the future fund, the $358.8 million that's sitting in the future fund, was all of that money borrowed?
Thank you. Siobhan Cody. Yes, it would be borrowed because, of course, we would have to have the liquidity available. Now, allow me to say this. It's not actually borrowed. So we use the non-renewable revenues that we receive. So in actual fact, we take a portion of the non-renewable revenues that we receive and put them in the future fund. Okay? So that is how technically the future fund is set up. Portion of the non-renewable revenues we put into the future fund. However, to get to your question, because we are in a borrowing situation and because we are in a deficit situation, we do need to borrow money to offset some of the requirements that we have. So in an actual sense, yes, you do borrow some of that money. So I want to make sure people understand. First of all, we're taking a portion of non-renewable revenues and putting it aside. But because we're in a deficit situation, yes, we have to borrow money. But we are earning more in terms of interest on that money than we're actually paying in terms of interest. So we're earning more on that money than we are paying on interest on the debt.
Yeah. Tony Wakeham, that was going to be my next question. What's your rate of return?
You got it? Yeah. Michelle Jewer, approximately 7%. That's the annual return. And our cost of borrowing is around 4.
Tony Wakeham, do you know how much the health authorities are paying in interest on their lines of credit?
Oh, you do that?
David Rover, it varies based on their line of credit facility, but it's a prime base rate, less a certain number of percentage points. So it will vary depending on, I guess, what prime is at any one point in time.
Siobhan Cody, that is one of the reasons why we want to pay down their line of credits, and we're looking at that. We've adjusted for that. We're working with the Department of Health and with the Newfoundland Labrador Health Services to make adjustments to that because we can borrow. We feel at a better rate pay down those lines of credit.
Tony Wakeham, it's probably a question for the Minister of Health, but again, is that included in the budget calculation for the Department of Health this year?
It is. We do have we have in within our debt profile, within our cash borrowings, right? Mm-hmm. Within our cash borrowings, money to pay down that line of credit over 2 years.
Okay. So again, when you talk about $1.6 billion, that part of that is for that.
Yeah. Michelle Jewer, yes.
Okay. And I noticed that the debentures had increased from $18.35 billion to $21.15 billion. Can we explain that?
I'm just under what subheading are you looking so that I know exactly what you're looking at?
Let me find it for you.
Or are you looking in a schedule?
Let's see. Where is it going? 21.5. Thought I had it in front of me, but I don't. My apologies. I will ask that again in a minute.
Okay. I think my deputy minister may have sorted it for you.
Michelle Jewer, so I think you're looking at
schedule
six or four. Four, sorry. debentures 18.35 and 23, 24 going to 21.15 and 24,
yes.
25.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would be the $2.8 billion new borrowing, less any sinking funds we have.
Okay. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. Given that we are on the federal backstop for the carbon tax, how much revenue was lost from the province when we switched over from the provincial one over to the federal one? How much revenue was lost out of the department?
Siobhan Cody, we'll certainly pick that up for you. It was a significant amount of revenue because, of course, that was coming into government. We were paying out into various different environmental programs, but it was a significant amount of money. But we'll certainly be able to dig that out of the file.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much, Minister. You mentioned earlier about the future fund, and it's you were saying non-renewable. Income from non-renewable, is that just oil and gas, or is that also considering mineral royalties as well?
It is, Siobhan Cody, it is considering mining royalties as well.
Okay, so we're using both,
right.
Like while other, I guess, oil provinces are just using their oil revenues, we're using both.
We are using both.
Okay.
But the predominant is the oil revenues.
Oh, obviously. Yeah, I understand. I understand that. Yeah, yeah, there's only 5% on iron ore, so I understand. Right now, so how much is predicted to be put into the account this year from the non-renewables?
I think it's $72 million.
$72 million, okay. And is that going to be consistent, or is it based on what we receive?
It's based on what we receive. The formula, if you recall from the bill, it was there's a formula that we place. The more we receive, the more revenue we receive, the more we capture.
Okay.
So, for example, if oil goes to, and I'll use a round number, $100 a barrel, we capture more of the royalties.
Okay.
And if it's a whole lot less, we capture less.
Okay.
But so this is it's based on that formula. If you go forward into the fiscal forecast, the capturing rate, like this year we're putting in $72 million. Do you have the numbers for the future years, just out of curiosity?
It's based on current forecast.
Yeah, if you look at future years, it's a bigger capture. For example, next year would be, this is in the forecast, $152 million, but that's based on the price of oil, right?
Yeah, okay.
Price of oil predominantly.
And production.
Okay, obviously. Okay, perfect. That's perfect. Thank you so much for that. Now that oil, so how is in your department the potential sale of the offshore oil equities? Is it being handled by your department that the potential sale or looking at the sale of that?
Certainly, it's within the industry department, but we are working hand over hand with them on. We're doing a lot of the analysis.
Okay, and how far along with the analysis are you right now?
I'm going to turn that to the Deputy Minister, who has it right in front of her.
Michelle Dewar. So we had an update from IET. So the bid process is continuing. Assets have been offered to the market. Companies who expressed interest in bidding were required to enter into non-disclosure agreements before receiving information packages, and the data packages were issued to the parties on April 9th. Those companies who received data packages have been invited to submit their non-binding offers by May 28th. And those non-binding offers will obviously be reviewed, and then the province will decide or make a decision going forward on
okay.
that.
Okay, so fairly recently, would you say? Yeah, okay. So, all right, perfect, thank you. How much was the dividends we did get from that equity last year?
Sorry. Are you asking for, it's because it would, you're asking for the dividends that
we would receive from the equity of the offshore oil.
Yeah, okay. So we'll have to get that because that would be in the department, in hydro. Does anybody have that? We do have it.
Good. Okay.
Maybe. So as you know, Oilco is part of Newfoundland Hydro. Newfoundland Labrador
okay,
Hydro.
And filtered that way.
And so it would go to Newfoundland and Labrador Hydro, and then Newfoundland and Labrador Hydro would pay a dividend to the province, should they pay a dividend to the province.
Okay, so it's like a flow.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So do we have it?
Okay,
great.
Thank you so much.
Michelle Dewar, so for 23-24, that was about $160 million in hydro.
Perfect.
But again, Siobhan Cody. But again, it doesn't come direct to government. It goes to Newfoundland and Labrador Hydro, right? Because the assets are okay.
Thank you so much, Minister, for explaining that. Yes, appreciate that. Given that the sale of the equity from of our stake in offshore oil, is there any other recommendations or anything like that of that similar nature going to be carried out through government, sale of equity stakes or sale of anything like that coming up in the future through the department?
We're currently advancing. So are you asking about the Rothschilds?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, just trying to get clear on what the question was. Siobhan Cody. The Rothschild report, we are advancing on this particular file. We haven't advanced on anything else.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much, Minister. Can we get an update on the revision of the process for applying for and evaluating proposals for core funding to community groups?
Do we have anything to update you on? So we have been working with some community groups, and we're looking to build a portal. So we want to build a portal to come into government. Right now, as you know, community groups go direct to departments. And some departments, some community groups get funding from multiple departments. So we're looking to build some kind of portal so that they only have to do one application, comes in through one central portal. That may be in finance, one central portal. We wouldn't make the decisions on the funding. That would be in the departments themselves. So it's a little bit complicated in that, you know, the Department of Children, Seniors and Social Development, Department of Health might end up funding the same community group. So we're looking at building this portal, but now we haven't determined how we're going to make the final efforts on amalgamating that kind of aspect, because it is complex, because we don't want to interrupt at the same time. We don't want to interrupt what's happening for various community groups, right?
So like a MyGov NL for not-for-profits.
That's pretty much what we're looking at.
That makes complete sense.
But it would still have to go to the department, because far be it from Department of Finance to say to Children, Seniors, and Social Development or to the Department of Health how they should fund or what they should fund. It's more we would facilitate that portal.
Oh, perfect. No, thank you. Thank you for that answer, Minister. Can we get an update on the review for the Independent Appointments Commission Act and how that's going?
Siobhan Cody, I'd certainly be happy to do that. That was under public service.
My apologies.
That's okay. We received a really, I thought it was a very detailed and good report, and we started the implementation. It was nothing profound in the findings. It was more how do we improve, and the implementation of that is underway.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much. One last question here is, how many people claimed the physical activity tax credit last year through the department?
Good question.
Last year, we wouldn't have. Doug Trask, we wouldn't have numbers for last year because they're still filing their income tax. 22. I can see if I can find it.
Siobhan Cody. So we wouldn't have it for 2023 because, of course, people are still filing their taxes for 2023.
Oh, fair, yes.
For 2022, we're going to look and see. But remember, we doubled that rebate last year.
Yep.
So it will be it'll be something that I can come forward with. But it'll be as we move forward.
Oh, perfect. No, appreciate it. No, just one last question there too. I just going back there when you mentioned the. Currently, we have the discounted rate for fuel tax right now. We lowered the gas tax rate as a measure. Is there any consideration within the department to make that make the 8% permanent going forward?
Certainly, we the House of Assembly approved it until next March, and we'll review it at that point in time to see whether or not it is appropriate for us to continue with the lower It is actually the lowest tax in the country right now for gas tax. And as you know, it's an important contributor to the fundings of governments across Canada. And we're, I think it's about $70 million, I'm looking, is approximately, and I think it's a little higher, but approximately $70 million it's costing government not to have that 8 cents. So it is a significant amount of money, but so we'll make that decision as we move forward into next year's budget.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Minister.
Thank you, MHJ Brown, MHJ Wade.
Tony Wakeham. Probably wouldn't expect me to ask this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What's the contribution of Muskrat Falls to the total provincial debt? How much is Muskrat Falls as part of the total provincial direct debt?
Michelle Jewer, so it's not in the government's debt. They are a government business entity, so they get consolidated based on their net income. So their debt sits on their statements. But if you look at Schedule 4, it gives you the breakdown of the total public sector debt.
Right.
So if you look at that, the net utility debt is $9.7
billion. So $9.7.
And that includes more than Muskrat Falls. So that would also include, like, hydro's debt as well. So that would be total.
That's
total debt. Total hydro debt.
Okay.
But if you look at the total public sector debt, it's about $31.3 billion.
Right.
Net.
Yeah, that's the
net.
Total public sector debt, yeah. But net of sinking funds.
Right.
So when I look at the total provincial direct debt, and I look at it in March of 2016, it was $10.3 billion. And your forecast to March 31st, 2025 is $22.3 billion, if I'm right. I don't know if my numbers are 100% accurate, but that's what I've got here. You could verify that. I'd like to understand a little bit how doubled.
Michelle Jewer, would you be able to repeat those numbers for me again?
March 31st, 2016, total provincial direct debt, $10.3 billion, approximately. And the budget forecast to March 31st, 2025 is $22.3 billion. Now, if you want to go back to the total public service debt number, again, in March of 2016, that was at $15.7 billion. And your number that you just told me was at $31.268 billion. So again, we know now that there's $9.7 billion of that $31 billion is part of the utility debt. And I'm wondering, that one itself has doubled as well. I'm just curious as to, can you provide a breakdown of that?
As my deputy minister's working away at all your little, all the different numbers, because you're going between numbers. Allow me to say, from a general perspective, first of all, you have to remember we've had accumulating deficits. And they've been accumulating for quite some time, pre-2016. You'll recall, I think in 2015, there was close on a $2 billion debt deficit. And it's, you know, we've had accumulating deficits over time. And that is one of the reasons why this government is so focused on trying to get our deficits under control, because every time you have a deficit, it's added to the debt, right? Because you don't have the money to pay it off. So we are very focused on that. And if you go back to 2014, 2013, 2015, 2016, so on, we've had accumulating deficits. When I became Minister of Finance, our deficit was, you know, somewhere in the $1.5 billion range. That was during COVID. So that's why we've been very focused, and that's why we've been saying we want to get to this balance. And I think that you would support us in getting to a balance. Right, this year it's $152 million, which is 1.5% of revenue. So You know, if you, it depends on your perspective, but that's pretty close to balance next year and the year after and the year after and the year after. We will be at balance. That's number one. Number two, we've you know, put in some infrastructure, and we've had some debt that did not have attached sinking funds. So they have to be, that rolls over in your debt. That's why, as a government, we've said we need to attach sinking funds to debt. So I'll use those as examples. One is deficit, the other is debt that rolls over and that continues and grows. We've had some infrastructure projects that we don't net out perfectly. I'll turn to the deputy minister because she may have looked at your numbers now.
Michelle Jewer, so I wouldn't have the numbers from 2016 with me. It's something we'd have to take away and look at the change. But as the minister said, it would be the capital borrowing that was required in that period of time, the deficits that would have happened in that over that period of time. We've also had debt maturities. We've had contributions to sinking funds. All those things would play into the change from 2016 to now. With respect to utility debt, yes, there would be increased debt for Muskrat Falls in that time period. There were federal loan guarantees issued within that time period that would be part of that increase as well. But we could have to take it away and get a reconciliation done of the change.
Taking it away, that'd be fine. The thing, though, I want to clarify is that the numbers I was using as of March 31st, 2016, was the accumulated number up to that point. So it wasn't that I was forgetting about everything that happened prior to. That was the accumulated number, and that number has doubled in the last 10 years. So just to get a breakdown of it, and I know that $9.7 billion is hydro and Muskrat Falls related. Again, I wanted to quickly ask, I got a little bit of time left here, on the commentary on your T-bill program. It's a, what's the current size of it? It looked like it cost more maybe last year than expected. And I guess obviously is that because it was temporarily increased or because of market rates?
Well, thank you, Siobhan Cody. First of all, I want to congratulate our team here within finance, Director Nemec and his team for managing a very robust program here. And they actually earn revenue on this as well. They've done a tremendous job of making sure that we manage our cash and manage our T-bill program very, very well. So I'm going to turn, to answer your specific question, I'll turn to Mr. Nemec, who is the director.
Tom Nemec. Yes, so if you look at the revenue and the expenses, it does seem that there was a cost there. The reason for that is it's not broken out in full detail. There really are two main portions to our Treasury bill program. We have our regular weekly $1.2 billion program that's a part of our debt. Okay, we have our auctions every Wednesday, takes 13 weeks to cycle through. So if that's the only program we had, there would be times that our balance would be below zero. We have another program that uses the same Treasury bills, but it's discretionary. And we issue those to manage our cash balance throughout the year. What we also do with those, it's a side effect, is that we make a profit on those because we have a risk-free arbitrage in that we earn more overnight by holding the cash than it costs to borrow. So that's a side effect of managing our liquidity throughout the year. So last year, our net profit doing that was $4.2 million. So inside those expense numbers, there is a $4.2 million profit if we weren't doing that. But there is a cost to the Treasury bills. They're a borrowing really no different than our debentures, and there's an interest expense. Because we manage the cash in a certain way, we lower that cost to get as low as possible.
Thank you. I always enjoy the answers. The one other question I had then on the, and I'll go to 1.1.05, the temporary investment piece. Again, it looked like you generated additional money in the last fiscal, but not expecting that trend to continue. Again, some commentary maybe on that.
Tom Nemec, certainly. Yeah, that revenue there, that's the revenue that we earn on managing our cash. So interest rates for the year were high. Though the interest we earn on that is directly related to the Bank of Canada rate. So as the Bank of Canada cuts their interest rates this year as expected, that revenue will fall. If interest rates stay where they are, it should stay around the same. Yeah.
Thank you, Siobhan. Cody, you'll note in 1105 that the restated original budget, the projected revised budget for last year was 85.115 million, and this year it's going we've right-sized it again based on what Director Nemec has indicated. We're expecting rates to come down.
No further questions. Your time is up. MHA Brown, do you have any further questions?
Thank you.
No questions?
Well, yeah. You can go back to Mr. Wakeham. MHA.
No, I'm going to keep going.
You're
going
to keep going?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to keep
He's
going.
In his happy place.
I'm going to ask the clerk to call the question.
No.
No.
I have a couple more questions.
You have
questions.
A couple questions. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Tony Wakeham. Again, I just want to thank him for the answer, and I understand totally the fact that the interest rate goes up can be a good thing and a bad thing at the same time. So 1.3.01 under guaranteed fees, again, can the minister provide a list of which organizations were charged for their guarantees in 23-24 and how much was charged to each?
Siobhan Cody. That would be Newfoundland and Labrador Hydro's predominant amount. Foco Island Cooperative, I think it's only 15,000. Yeah, so it's predominantly Newfoundland and Labrador Hydro. And it is their cost of doing business on behalf of the utility. It's not in their rates.
And again, follow-up question, whether are there any new loan guarantees in this being considered by Cabinet?
Not that we're aware of.
Okay. Thank you. Tony Wakeham, 1.4.01, professional fees. Again, some commentary on that particular line. Last year, 9.8 was budgeted, 11.5 was required. And this year, you're estimating 19.6 million. Again, provide some commentary on that one.
Certainly, I'm going to turn to Deputy Minister.
Michelle Dewar. So the increase from 9.8 to 11.451 was due to increased borrowing that we did in 23-24. And then the increase again to from 23-24 to 24-25 is that more borrowing happening in 24-25.
Okay, and Tony Wakeham again, the professional services associated with that though, why so much increase in? Is it just that's just the, you budget so much for borrowing and it seems to have gone up substantially.
Well, these are commissions paid to investment dealers or standard rates across the country, and the borrowing requirements have increased. So therefore, if we're borrowing more, it costs us more.
Okay, and finally under 1.401, the debt expense and revenue provincial. Can you detail the 96.5 million debt expense?
Do you have it?
Okay. That's that was last year, looked like.
Michelle Dewar. So every year that $1,000 is a placeholder because we're unable to determine at the budget time if we're going to borrow based on discounts or commissions. So it's really a placeholder. So then that 96.573 is the actuals that would happen throughout the year.
So
thank you, Siobhan Cody. Just for clarity and certainty, if you went back to the book from last year, you'll see another $1,000, and then the projected revised budget, you'll see the number in last year as to what it was, and I think it was around $84 million last year, somewhere in that vicinity, but because of higher rates. And I think my Deputy Minister has a point as well.
Michelle Dewar, so last year, 23-24, so majority of our borrowing was at discount, so that's why it's an expense. It was a premium, we'd have a
Thank you. Tony Wakeham, one last question here. We mentioned earlier the gas tax. I'm curious, do you have an estimate of how much revenue do you collect from HST on carbon tax?
HST.
That's charged on the gas.
I'm just checking with my officials. We don't have that. We don't break it out in that way. No, it's not broken out in that way.
Okay, for clarification, Tony Wakeham again, you do receive revenue, though. Do you receive the provincial share of HST on carbon tax revenue? That's charged. The carbon tax itself is charged on gasoline and other products.
Doug Trask. Yes, that's correct. We do receive HST revenue, but it comes from the federal government through the administration of our harmonized sales tax. So it's not broken out as to how that's charged against carbon purchase of fuels.
If I may, remember that harmonized sales tax, we don't control what is on which products or services HST applies. That is at the federal government, because it is a harmonized sales tax.
Thank you. That's it for me.
See no further questions. I ask the clerk to call the subpoints.
Servicing of the public debt, 1.1.01 to 1.4.02 inclusive.
Shall 1.1.01 to 1.4.02 carry? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Carries. Seeing we're a little over halfway, I'm just wondering about a break. If you want to take a 10-minute break, and then we will come back. Normally, this is when we would take a break. So I'm going to suggest a 10-minute break, and we will come back and do the next subheading. Thank you.
Okay. You're done.
Hi. Yes. Hi. Welcome back. After a short break, I'm going to ask the clerk to call the next set of subheadings, please.
Employee benefits and other payments, 2.1.01 to 2.3.01 inclusive.
All right, so we will continue with questions, and M.A.J. Wakeham, you don't have any questions for this session? 2.1.01 to 2.3.01?
No.
No questions. M.A.J. Brown, you have a question?
Yep, for this section here. Of all the pension plans, are all the pension plans fully funded?
Sorry, what was the heading? Just so I can get it really quickly.
2.1.01 to 2.3.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you. As you know, M.H.A. Brown, there have been quite a bit of work done on pension plans. I can tell you that PSPP, the Public Service Pension Plan, the Teachers Pension Plan are 100%, over 100% actually, as is the MHA and the PCJPP. The Uniform Services one is under, as is Memorial University. Those two are still underfunded.
Okay, any work being done to bring them to whole?
Certainly, there's a lot of work being done on both of those.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Of the pre-1949 one, how many members are left drawing from that plan?
I asked the exact same question. I just need to know. I just need to see it again. Pre-1949, 2.1.02. Sorry, I did write that down. 13.
There's 13 people.
13 recipients still in 2024.
Oh, perfect. And that's my final question for that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is that it for questions?
That's everything for that section.
All right. I asked the clerk to recall the subpoints.
Employee benefits and other payments, 2.1.01 to 2.3.01 inclusive.
Shall 2.1.01 to 2.3.01 carry? All in favor? Against? Carried. All right, I ask the clerk to call the last set of subheadings in this section.
Contingency 3.1.01.
Shall 3.1.01 3.1.01, M.A.J. Wakeham.
Hello, Tony Wakeham. Just one question. Can the minister provide a list of what transfers were made out of the contingency fund in 23-24?
Thank you very much, Siobhan Cody, for the question. Predominantly, as you know, we have $22 million allocated in budget. We've spent $17 million predominantly on children in care. So we've had over expenditures in children in care, and working with the Department of Children, Seniors, and Social Development, and added some money this year to assist them in that. I'll ask the Deputy Minister to give you a full list of the $17 million.
Michelle Jewer, so $561,000 for Canada Games, $15 million for Children in Care, $1 million for marketing agreement for Association of Seafood Producers, or Processors, sorry, and $512,300 for NLHC Affordable Housing Initiatives. That gives you $17,073,300.
Thank you.
That's it?
That's it.
M.H.J. Brown?
Is there any carryover from the contingency fund where anything would be drawn out of it this year that we already know about? Or is it just, is there any carryover or anything like that?
Michelle Jewer, so there is no carryover of money. There is another $22 million budgeted for contingency for
24-25. Okay.
I see no further questions. I ask the clerk to call the subtitle.
Okay. Contingency 3.1.01.
Shall 3.1.01 carry? All in favor? Against? Carry. Shall the total carry? All in favor? Against? Carry. All right, I ask the clerk to call the next set. We're going to change now to Department of Finance. So Finance is on page 43. And we're going to change some staff members in and out, so just give us a minute and we will be
just have
ready,
some people
ready to go again.
No one coming in. We're here.
No one coming in, just people out.
They're deserting us, that's all.
Okay. All right. So when you're ready, clerk, I should have called the first subtotal.
For the Department of Finance, Executive and Support Services, 1.1.01 to 1.3.01 inclusive.
So we will have just 10 minutes for this round of questioning. 15 minutes? Okay, it's 10 on the clock. That's why I thought it was 10. So it's 15. M.H.J. Wakeham.
Thank you, Tony Wakeham. Just have some general questions. One of them that all we always ask is, of course, how many vacant positions do you currently have in the department?
Siobhan Cody, thank you for the question. We do our absolute best to have a full complement, as you can appreciate. These are highly skilled employees. We have a tremendous number of professionals in the department, and in some areas we have entry level. In some of the tax and phone center support people. They enter into government and then they move on. But I'm checking now the number of vacancies. We've just added it to our list. We've added it to our list to get for you.
Okay.
But in a general sense, I'm sorry?
Wait times.
Yeah. In a general sense, we have a tremendous recruitment, overwhelming, activity in certain areas, especially around the tax area, because they're entry-level positions, they move on within government. But in a general sense, we have a very strong and good stable team within the Department of Finance.
Okay. There's a $1.5 billion expected in offshore royalties. I'm wondering if you can break that down by field. Is that possible?
Do you have that by field? We're checking to see if we have it by field. Because I guess your point is Hebron should be coming into full payout. Okay. They're checking to see if we have it. If we don't have it, I know the industry, energy, and technology would have it. Deputy Minister.
Michelle Jewer, so the 1551.3 is what you're for 2425. So about 750 million of that would be Hibernia, 11 million Terra Nova, 2.4 White Rose, and another 780 would be Hebron.
So 750 million is Hibernia, 11 million is Terra Nova.
Mm-hmm.
And 250 million is
no,
it?
2.4 million White Rose.
Okay, 2.4.
And 780 Hebron.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Let's keep going. We're into 1.2.01. How far are we along to? Are we doing 1.2.02? Okay, great. So in salaries, 1.2.02 salaries, I noticed a savings of approximately $440,000 in 23-24. The budget is increased in 24-25. It's up to $12 million. Just wondering why.
That is the tax administration positions that I was referring to. Very entry level. They come into government and then they move within government. So we find, if you looked even in last year, this is the same, it's the same type of movement. We have increased the original budget, of course, because that's the general salary increases. That's why the budget's at $12 million. So we do have tremendous movement within this class of employees. But it's half of what it was last year in terms of vacancies.
Okay, that's good.
That is good.
The revenue, Tony Wakeham, revenue provincial that's shown there, the 200,000, where does that actually come from?
Oh, that's for statistical data services that we provide to external organizations. Do you have a breakdown of those organizations? No.
Get it.
Different statistical data that we provide to external organizations.
So, Tony Wakeham, how do we determine how much we charge?
Dr.
Yeah,
Dr. It's basically it's cost recovery. So there's no markup or increase in terms of charge. It's just how many hours or how much cost it was to put the data or the research together.
Is there, Tony Wakeham, is there a potential to do more than cost recovery?
We typically do not. We don't do a lot of these. These are for specialized groups and keeping costs down to those groups rather than pass along. This is not really a revenue measure.
Okay. So you're basically, it's cost neutral?
Cost recovery.
Okay, thank you. Okay, are we doing 1.3?
Yes.
Okay. The under 1.301, the government rebate programs. Again, the 15.5 million. What was that intended for? What's it intended for?
Siobhan Cody, that's for the home heating supplement program, and we've right-sized. We spent about $16 million in the last year, so that's why we have $15.5 million in there for this year. Mostly that is because there's been a decrease in the numbers that we're seeing coming in for that home heating supplement program. As you know, if you earn up to $100,000, you get the full rebate of $500. If up to $150,000, you get a partial rebate of, it's a sliding scale down to $200. But what we're seeing is we're seeing a lot of conversions, people converting from oil to electric. And I note the Minister of Environment shaking his head behind you, and he's taking all the credit for that, and that's a good thing. But what we're seeing is a slighter take up on the home heating supplement program.
Okay.
But there's still a tremendous number of applications. So
that's good. Tony Wakeham, the revenue, how was that generated?
That's basically post stale dated checks. So if, for example, someone's moved or someone has, you know, if someone's no longer in that building or hasn't cashed their check, they may come back to government, and that's what the revenue is. But we do our best then to track them down and try and reissue that check.
Oh, Tony Wakeham, that's interesting because I had a lady contact me who still has a $500 check.
Right.
That is stale dated, and she's wondering what she should, how she could get reimbursed because it went to an address where she used to live, and now she finally got the check, but it's a year old. Is that, are they still able to ask someone about that, or is it like case closed?
My suggestion would be for her to call the 1-800 number. I don't know it off the top of my head. No, I don't know the 1-800. Call the 1-800 number, and they'll be happy to make arrangements.
Yeah. Tony Wakeham, I think she's done that, but not to any satisfaction. But we can direct her to, I'll gladly direct her.
direct her to,
your way.
To us, and we'll certainly look forward to trying to help her.
So Tony Wakeham again. So that's actually $1.7 million in checks that you would have issued to individuals, and they never got cashed.
Yep, because due to the cancellation of prior year stale dated rebate checks that were not cashed by program recipients. Please.
Michelle Jewer. So that would all, not just a home heat rebate program, this would have been from the cost of living checks. The
right.
So there were a lot of those checks. I can't remember how many. But hundreds of thousands of checks. So that would still be some remnants of that too, as well as home heat rebate.
Okay. I'm done with the 1.1s. I'm into the 2s now.
And hit your ground.
Perfect. Okay, there we go. I was out of the Department of Operations, though. Is the department looking at any ways to help municipalities raise funding sources to help them also with some of their issues there? Is the Department of Finance working with any of the municipalities on how they can raise funds themselves internally to help with their programming?
Certainly we'd work with any municipality if they wanted our assistance, but I will say that is something that was raised by Municipalities NL as part of our discussions, as asking us to consider how they can get a different type of funding mechanisms. As you know, in this year's budget, we did increase some funding for the municipalities, and we did do a couple of the things that they did ask us to do. But that was one thing that they've kind of said: is there a way they can participate in more taxation opportunities? So that will be something that we'll take away and look at as we move forward this year.
Yeah. And to discuss with the fuel rebate, and then, like you said, there obviously there's less uptake now as people convert or anything like that. Is there any way to roll the rebate into a more inclusive program that include all forms of heating?
Something that we can take under, you know, take under consideration. We do subsidize the electricity, right, in the province.
Yeah.
So it is, especially in Labrador, that there are ways in which we support, especially coastal and northern Labrador.
Yeah.
As you know, we do have the rate mitigation program because of Muskrat Falls.
Yeah.
So there are ways that we support electricity. But I hear you on whether or not we want to broaden the home heating supplement program.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much. And that was my final question, Minister. Thank you.
I hear no further questions. I ask the clerk to call the subtotal.
Talk about my
executive
3 cents.
1.01 to 1.3.
Shall 1.1.01 to 1.3.01 carry? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Carried. I ask the clerk to call the next round of subtitles.
Financial Administration, 2.1.01.
2.1.01, MHA Wakeham.
Tony Wakeham. Last year, $35 million was expected to be spent. Can we get a breakdown of what was given to the departments and for what projects, initiatives?
Thank you for the question. We'll certainly be happy to give you a breakdown. As you see in the budget documents, this is a flow-through, so we allocate money every year, and then as the departments draw down on that, like we have block funding for federal agreements during the year, so I'm going to ask my deputy to give you the breakdown.
Michelle Jewer. So for 23-24, $11.346 million was transferred out to departments. We had $3.372,200 for LMDA top-up funding. $2.6 million for gender-based violence national action plan, and $5,371,800 for disaster assistance. All of those would have 100% offsetting revenue.
Tony Wakeham, again in 24-25, $36 million is expected from the federal government. What would that be for, and is there a breakdown available for that?
Michelle Jewer. So $29 million is a block fund that's there for federal agreements that may come up during the year that we didn't know at budget time that could be transferred out to departments, 100% offset by revenue. There's $1,335,300 for DGSNL French Language Services Agreement, $5 million for a federal grant to support establishment of dairy secondary processing plant with offsetting revenue, and $650,000 for the 2 billion trees program for FFA with offsetting revenue as well.
So as you can see, there's a block of funding. The $30 million is a block that we don't know how it's allocated, but it's in our budgets to be allocated as we find out more details of what happens today's budget.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I'm finished the questions, but just that fact, I guess we'll all be anxiously waiting to see what kind of new tax increases apparently we're going to have. But anyway, hopefully none. But I thank you so much. I am finished asking questions, and just want to thank you.
Thank you, and hey, Jay Brown.
Yeah, thank you. No, I don't have any other questions in there, but I do want to thank the minister and her team that was here, and then I guess I back to their other duties. I want to thank them all for participating. It's always a great insight to see what's going on inside the department.
And we do have information on the physical activity tax credit. Assistant Deputy Minister.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much.
Doug Trask. So based on preliminary income tax data for 2022, the number of filers that claimed the credit was 32,800.
Thank you so much, Ms. Trask.
I would anticipate that would continue to grow because in 2023, of course, we've doubled the physical activity tax credit. I want to thank the team at Finance and Treasury Board, an incredibly strong, dedicated team of individuals who've done an outstanding service to the people of Newfoundland and Labrador, and I appreciate working with them. So I know that you've thanked them as well, and I just want to recognize them.
See no further questions. I asked the clerk to call the last set of titles. Subtitles.
Financial Administration, 2.1.01.
2.1.01. All in favor? All against? Carried. Shall the vote will carry. All those in favor? Against? Carried. All right, the minister has said her thank yous. I think she wants to add anything else. I certainly want to thank all the department officials and the committees for attending today. And Mr. Cody, I don't know if you've already thanked everybody. So.
Well, I want to thank members opposite for their questions, their inquiries, and their support of this morning's proceedings. Thank you.
And the date of the next meeting is April the 18th at 6 p.m. I ask for call for an adjournment.
18th?
M.H.A. Davis.
16th.
Second by M.H.A. Wakeham. All those in favor?
Aye.
Against? Carried. I call the meeting adjourned. Thank you again for participating.